After that brief recess, we're back on the record at 10:35 a.m. As to the essentially a motion for a directed verdict, or a motion in essence, is my understanding, to dismiss the appeal, or judgment as a matter of law, I apologize, akin to that would be authorized by Rule 50, the Guam Rules of Civil Procedure, and also the companion rule, I believe, to the federal Rules of Civil Procedure, which Guam Rules of Civil Procedure track. Pursuant to 2 GAR Division 4, Chapter 12, Section 12108D, which states that hearing shall be as informal as may be reasonable and appropriate under the circumstances, and shall not be bound by statutory rules of evidence or by technical or formal rules of procedure, except as provided by Guam procurement law. As that rule that you're citing is basically part of the Guam Rules of Civil Procedure, which do not apply here, I'm going to deny your motion on that ground. Further, I'm going to deny the motion as being untimely, as the November 9, 2009 scheduling order for this hearing did require the parties to file any motions, not just pretrial motions, not just preliminary motions, but all motions, any motions, by November the 23rd, 2009 at 5. As that motion was not filed at that time, that motion is also untimely and will be denied, pursuant to the rule I cited and the fact that it's untimely.
Thank you.
Further, my understanding is that you are going to rest, Mr. Abrams?
That is correct. Now that you ruled on our motion with the procurement agency to get rest.
Further, pursuant to 2 GAR Division 4, Chapter 12, Section 12108D, it's that same regulation I previously cited, that the hearing officer may require evidence in addition to that offered by the parties. I'm going to require Tony Bloss to basically take the stand and respond to some questions by the public auditor. Mr. Bloss? Is Mr. Perez also available for testimony?
He's on the call, Mr. Sinatra. If you would like him to be here, I can definitely. But may I suggest that it be Mr. Garcia, who is Andy Leandro, son. Andy Leandro would probably be.
That would be acceptable.
Okay.
Mr. Mr. Bloss, please take the stand.
May I also make a similar suggestion with respect to whatever it is that you expect Mr. Bloss to explain. When it comes to the financial part of what was being put together for IBC, Ms. Ali Lentiaco would be probably more forthcoming than Mr. Bloss. She was more directly involved with it. And although I said there was no more need for the phone call, I didn't anticipate that you were going to independently require additional evidence. There's no problem with calling Mr. Bloss, but I think you can get further witnesses than that.
Okay, well. Mr. Bloss, please take the stand. as I was quoting from the statute, statute actually states may require, not offer, so not offering evidence, I'm just requiring additional evidence pursuant to the regulation I previously cited. Mr. Bloss, thank you for coming here today. I believe the public auditor has a few questions for you concerning this matter.
Mr. Bloss, sometime in, after the evaluation was made by the evaluation committee, Rita presented an analysis of the three different financing proposals sometime in February. Do you recollect that?
Yes, I do a connection to that.
Okay. And I recall in that analysis, you indicated that IDC was the best financing alternative.
Yes, according to your own Rita team, yes, IDC was the.
But my recollection of that report also was that the rate for, you know, I believe in the A range.
Yes, I guess the specifics of that, I think one of our staff, our other staff, we have, of course, Tim Garcia, Financial Service Division Manager, and Deputy Administrator, she knows more details on that issue, and Anthony and Burrell, they're also involved in that. I can speak to that more specifically than my own.
Is Ms. Garcia here?
She's with
me. Then would you prefer that we ask her those questions?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And Ali Tiako also, she's a financial advisor for UDAN and the UDAN, and she can ask her some more specific questions about her issue.
Okay, now that the public auditor has asked some questions, Mr. Inman, do you have any questions in response to any of the questions asked by the public auditor?
One question, Mr. Bloss, would be the preliminary official statement was sent out to investors, is that correct?
Yes.
And who was it that signed the 15C212 certificate for Guam? Do you remember?
I don't recall. Let me see the document.
Excuse me. These questions are not directly related to public auditor's questions.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Outside the scope.
Okay. Mr. Inman, response to the objections?
They go to what I think is the root of this procedure, which is whether or not the information in the preliminary official statement is valid or something that someone can use in terms of evaluating the proposals.
Okay, but I also believe, Mr. Inman, that this particular witness did state that in the specifics were known by, or basically known by other members of his office and not by him personally.
Okay.
So,
no further questions.
Okay. Hang on. Mr. Abrams, any questions of Mr. Bloss?
No, thank you.
Ms. Tang?
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Bloss, you're excused. I admonish you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses. Okay. As we're still proceeding here, are there any? I'm going to ask the parties to ensure that none of their witnesses are in the hearing room at this time. Okay. So
there are none that we expect to call.
Okay. I believe Mr. Bloss had stated that Ms. Garcia, Tina Garcia specifically, could answer some questions that he could not. Ms. Garcia, are you present? Can you please take the stand? Ask the witness be signed in and sworn.
Mm-hmm. confirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I do. Thank you.
Ms. Garcia, where are you employed?
I am employed at the Guam Economic Development Authority. I am the Financial Services Manager and the Acting Deputy Administrator.
And are you familiar with the solicitation to demolish and rebuild the JFK High School?
Yes, I am.
And how are you familiar with that particular solicitation?
I oversaw the preparation. I participated in the preparation of the proposal. Along with DPW, we provided support, language, and evidence for the financial sector of the RFP.
And when did you start working on that solicitation and performing the services you just testified to?
It's been over a year.
Would it be fair to say you began in sometime in 2008?
Yes.
Do you recall when in 2008 you began?
I know we were there at the front end. We worked with DPW, I want to say, the summer of 2008. The RFP was issued towards the end of 2008, so we were there from the very beginning.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to refresh my memory with the analysis. Back on February 3rd, Director, Administrator Anthony Bloss sent a letter to Larry Paris indicating an analysis of the three different proposals. Do you recall that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And in the letter, there were a couple of questions that were raised. One pertained also to the square footage, but and the other pertained to different questions regarding the other two proposals. But what puzzled, what I saw was, and if you were to look at our decision, we made a comment as to the RFP and that the scenarios offered could have been, were, how should I say, quite altruistic, not realistic given Guam's financing. Many the bidders, for example, proposed AAA to A, and the government of Guam has never gotten AAA or A. How did one of the questions, well, let me rephrase this. In your opinion, how did you determine that IBC was the best qualified? Because the scenario that you outlined wasn't quite as clear for me.
When we put together the letter of recommendation, we raised questions about the rating. However, it wasn't altruistic in our mind because in the previous lease financing that did receive a AA rating, and because it was the analysis, the rating came out to a AA, and so we raised the question that you're saying this could be this rating, how is your rating, and what would the rates be? So we had to have those points clarified. On top of the rating, we also looked at all the other factors, the annual rentals, the insurance costs, and so on, and that's how we came up with our analysis of of ranking the well, not ranking, but reviewing each proposal.
Another question I have is regarding the term. Different proposals offered different terms. What was the term that Cedar recommended and why?
We weren't recommending any terms. We were going according to the public law, and the public law did not set terms. And so we had to analyze it on what was being proposed. So if different terms were being proposed, we had to review the total cost for each term.
You cited the previous one, though, the previous financing done, and but it's my understanding that that financing received the A or the double A because it was a pledge of compact impact funds. What is being pledged here?
The identified funding source was Section 30 funds, which is also a federal fund, federal revenue coming into the government.
But it's my understanding that Section 30 funds, and correct me if I'm wrong, I was under the impression that Section 30 funds were not pledged because that would add to the debt limitation.
When we say pledged, pledged to a loan is one thing, but it was the identified funding source or payment source for this financing. So it was identified as the funding source, I don't recall the exact terms of the public law, but it said once our bond, 2001 bond payments were up, those payments will now go towards paying some of this. And so it wasn't a direct pledge, it was a... not a direct pledge.
Unlike in the previous one where that was pledged. Is that the distinction? In the compact impact is pledged.
It's still not directly pledged because that financing does not fall into our debt ceiling. It's still a leaseback financing. So the structure of a leaseback financing establishes it as falling under a debt ceiling or not. And it's still subject to not so much appropriation, but approval by the government to release those funds for payment. So,
I'm a little confused.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I apologize. It's not directly pledged, because if you directly pledge it, then it'll be like our bonds where there's a direct link, and if the government doesn't make those payments, then we are directly responsible for the default. In the case of both scenarios, if the government doesn't make the payment, government doesn't make the payment. government doesn't make the payment, 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 government doesn't make the payment. 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 government doesn't make the payment, 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 government doesn't make the payment.